should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm on another, even as a mother protects with her life the child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to its views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So now we start our meditation, no? This is the first one.
Explain how to meditate
first. Yes, okay, good. So, I think all of you are meditators, no? Already?
Someone new tonight.
Okay, good. So, it is important to remind ourselves what is meditation is and what we are doing in meditation, what we are expecting from meditation. So these things we have to remind ourselves. So when we are practicing meditation, this is the important thing. So even if you are practicing in your own room or house, the same thing you have to do. You have to remind yourself, why am I meditating? This is the motivation you have to build up within yourself. You should not think that it is within you, but you have to remind, you have to make up your mind for practicing meditation. So it is an important thing for when you are sitting. So you have to remind yourself that now we are going to have a peaceful state of mind, just free from all thinking or doing working. So just give a relax to our mind. Not we are going to stop all the work of mind, and we are giving a relax, free time, resting time to the mind. So it is an important aspect of meditation. So we are freeing. So therefore, freeing our mind or the stop thinking of our mind. So we should understand why our mind is always involved in thinking, why it is working. So we are always have many different intentions in our mind. So that means there are things related to our day-to-day life, or related to our future, related to our past. So always mind involved in many different kind of objects. So anyway, we have to understand when we are practicing meditation, we have to cut off all these involvements related to your past or future or to the present. All you have to let go and make your mind free for giving a rest to your mind. So this aspect you have to always keep in your mind. It is the fundamental of practicing meditation. Just free your mind from all work. Just give a rest. So sometimes your mind may have a give an importance for some work or some thinking, something related to your past or something related to your tomorrow, what you are going to do, all these things. So you have to cut off all the value of all these things and give reserve this time period for doing nothing. Stop all doing, free your mind from all doing, and just enjoy the silence of the mind, stillness of the mind. So now we are going to enjoy the silent stillness of the mind. So that is the thing we should expect in this time period. So we have to reserve that time period not to do anything. But in the same time, you should understand what is skillful means and unskillful means. So if you try to control your mind, then sometimes mind starts rebelling you and give the bad reactions, because mind is according to the Lord Buddha's teachings, or sometimes now the psychologists also say the same thing. So mind is not actually under your control. It is run because causes and conditions. So you should be skillful enough to deal with your mind in skillful way. So the important thing is you have to understand the skillful means basically you should not fall into controlling your mind. So that means you should not try to control your mind. Be kind to your mind, soft and gentle to your mind. That is the skillful means. Be kind, soft and gentle to your mind. Like a mother who look after a small kid. So if you scold your kid, he gets upset and start crying, then another problem. So when your child is doing something not suitable, or if he is trying to run to the road, so mother just take your child into your hand and hug and kiss and make him calm, and give his attention to something else. So that is how you have to, skillful means you have to use. You should not be tough or hard to your mind in the same way. You have to be kind, soft and gentle to your mind. So these things you have to keep in mind when you are practicing meditation. This is really important. So when we are practicing meditation, we just choose a meditation object to watch or focus our attention. So when we pay attention to the meditation object, sometimes mind drift to different objects, move the focusing to something else, and thoughts are naturally start flowing in. So this is the nature of mind. But once you understand, your mind has gone to something else. So you have to be kind, soft and gentle to your mind, and just let it. Once you understand, mind naturally come back to your meditation object, because the determination at the beginning is just observe the meditation object until end of your until end of the meditation session. So when you identify that mind has moved to something else, that is only enough that mind will come back to the meditation object. If you unhappy or if you worry about your mind movements, then it is a problem. Then the mind try to find out a solution for that one. That is foolish. So just you have to be kind and just let the mind come back to the meditation object. So no need to worry about what happened moment ago. It is not a big thing. So that is how mind works. Mind is not under your control. You have to be kind, soft and gentle to mind. That is the skillful means how we should have that right attitude to deal with your mind in skillful way. So then I think this is enough. If you have any questions, you can ask. If anything related to your meditation practice, you can ask before starting meditation, then I can give an answer. So otherwise we can start meditation now. No? So is that enough? Yeah? Is it enough? So then we can start. I will give a small guidance. So first of all, when we start practicing meditation, we have to focus to our body and scan our body from head to toe, whether we are sitting comfortably. So any posture, okay, this sitting posture all we are using. So we have to sit comfortably and focus the attention from head to toe and toe to head and see where the body is comfortably seated. Let the body settle down and if there are any strains in muscles, you can relax, give the maximum relaxation to your body, all muscles. So then you can let go your body when you are practicing meditation. Then you can focus, after that you can focus the whole attention to your mind. If you are doing breath meditation, then you can focus your attention to the breath. Or otherwise, if you are doing metta meditation, you can focus your attention to the metta object in your mind. It is important to keep in mind, silence is important in your mind, not talking mind. So stop all talking mind, let go of talking mind. We are enjoying the silent stillness of the mind during this period. don't worry about what happened in the past moment. Just be happy with the silent stillness of the present moment. Don't worry about the past moment. Just enjoy present moment silent stillness. don't worry about the past moment. Just enjoy present moment's silent state. Just enjoy the present moment, silent stillness. Don't worry about anything. Just let go of everything. Just enjoy the present moment, silent stillness. If you are enjoying the present moment, silent stillness, you can focus your attention to your meditation object. For example, breath. Just enjoy the present moment, silent stillness. Don't worry about anything. Just let go of everything. Just enjoy the present moment, silent stillness. Just enjoy the present moment, silence, stillness. Don't worry about anything. Just let go of everything. Just enjoy the present moment, silence, stillness. Now, how much calm and quiet to your mind. You can observe the calmness, quietness and peacefulness of your mind. We are reaching to the end of the meditation session, so I will ring this gong 3 times. So after I am ringing the 3rd time, you can open your eyes. So if you have any questions, you can ask, so I can answer anything related to Dhamma or anything related to this meditation. You can. I hope most of you know, when you close your eyes, sometimes the visual objects come to your eye to when you are meditating. So you should know how to let go of these things and focus to one point. So no need to pay attention to visual objects. Sometimes some people face a lot of difficulties because these visual objects attract the attention of your mind, and then mind start moving to different objects, so you miss the meditation object. So I think most of you know, if someone is new to meditation, then they should understand these are the normal experiences you have to experience. So you should not worry about these things, but you should know how to deal with these kind of situations. If an visual object comes to your mind, you just don't pay attention to it, or just pay one point. You pay your attention to one point and let go the whole other stuff. So if you have any questions regarding meditation, you can ask. Or otherwise, if you have any other questions related to your day-to-day life, also you can ask, then I can try to give answers according to the Buddhism or the Buddhist, Lord Buddha's teachings.
Can you tell us your story?
Okay.
is this going to work for you? Oh, is it working?
Okay. Okay,
it's working, but it's not in the right spot.
Maybe, yeah. And now, can you hear? Okay, good. So, may I change?
You can even have it in hand.
Okay. Anyway, is it now? Is it working? Okay, good. Good enough. Okay. So, actually, I ordained in Sri Lanka, Nawiyana Monastery. So sometimes you may have heard about the Nawiyana Monastery because many foreigners go there. So currently, I think more than 30-40. Foreign meditators are there. Mm-hmm. So not only meditators, actually the monks and nun side, I think more than 60-70 the foreigner nuns are there. Mainly come from mainland China, Taiwan, Malaysia, these countries, and America, Germany, these countries also the nuns are coming. And the monk side also the same. About 15-20 countries the monks are coming. So I ordained in Nawiyana in year 2003, and 2006 I went to Paok Monastery in Myanmar and trained under Paok Sayadaw. And I stayed there until 2010. In mid of 2010, I went back to Nawiyana, and I stayed there 1 year. And I came to Ajahn Brahm's monastery here in Perth 2011 for the rains retreat here, and I stayed until end of the 2013 rains. That means 2 years and four months in Ajahn Brahm's monastery here. And after that I went to Sydney and I did a small teaching program in Dabu. And after that I went back to Sri Lanka, now in our monastery. And I stayed there until 2016, and I went to Malaysia for teaching and I went back again, and this way. And I came to Perth again 2017 for rains, this rainy season, rains retreat. I came to Perth and stayed with Ajahn Brahm, and went back to Malaysia, and then I went again, and then I came to Melbourne again, and one of our monastery monk started a meditation center in Melbourne, Ripplebrook, so I went there and helped them to run the place 3 months, and I went back to Sri Lanka again, and I came back 2018 again to Melbourne and worked there another 3 months, and I came back. And this year I came to Melbourne because when I was staying in Melbourne, Newbury Monastery invited me to come and help them, so therefore I decided to come back again in this year. So before I come to Melbourne, I went to see Park Sado because he is now very old and he's staying in Myanmar. Actually, he built devotees built a new monastery in a little bit higher elevation in Myanmar. So it is a cool place, much colder than the Molamian Park, the main monastery. So now Park Sado is staying there. So actually, they started building that monastery in 2015. Now you can see over 600 huts there, and it is a huge monastery. Very fast built and very beautiful Dhamma hall, the meditation hall, and all these things are very fast. So I saw this time. I stayed with Park Sado about 3.5 months, and then I came to Melbourne. So, so this is actually nice to see. There are a lot of meditators. Actually, when I was staying there, I saw these over 300 foreigners are there, all over the world. Nuns and monks, nuns and lay devotees, both men and women. So practicing there, so it is a nice place to see. So in the same time, we here very difficult to develop. Ajahn Brahm actually want to develop, but here this country, it is really expensive, highly expensive. So we gradually developing this. So Ajahn Brahm want to build this hermit's hill, but very difficult to get planning permits there. So anyway, Bodhinyana monks are developing this Newbury Buddhist Monastery. I think you have heard this in Melbourne. So they are doing well. Actually, now 5 or 6 huts are building. Now building work is going on. You can see in nbm.org.au, the website. So you can go to the website and see, or the Facebook page, you can get the details. Actually, the last Ajahn Brahm's birthday day, they got a good collections from here and sent to Newbury. So the building work is going on there now. There's one main Sangha house and Ajahn Brahm's hut and 4 other huts also building there. So it is a big land, about 160 acres land, and there's already they have a nuns monastery and one building for monks now use. So once the building work finish, the current building work finish, monks will move to the new area, so then the nuns can take over the place now the monks are using there. So I came here for 1 month stay. So after 1 month stay, I will go back to Newbury. I came from Newbury here. This time Ajahn Bamali invited me to come here and stay. So So maybe next year also I can come here, come to Perth and stay a short period and go back. First time I came here 2013, I conduct this program here. Only once. Those days I did not have much experience. Now actually we are helping to the BSV for doing these weekend programs and these things, so that's why. Now these days Ajahn Nisarano is staying there. Ajahn Nisarano came when I was coming to Perth. He came the same day he arrived in Melbourne. No, actually he will stay there until end of December, mm-hmm. and or the first week of January. After that he will come here for participating to Ajahn Brahm's retreat in January. He will stay here about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then he will go back to Sri Lanka again. He prefer to stay in Sri Lanka. I think he prefer that weather, the warm weather. He has some difficulties with this the cool weather, cold weather.
Can I ask a general question? Just on your viewpoints about anxiety. So causes, conditions, how to manage it. So you talk about letting go of the mind.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think of an emotion as coming from the body.
Yeah.
Just welcome any thoughts about anxiety.
Yeah, actually, according to Buddhism, what I understand is, so how you relate to your body and mind, that is the important thing. How you take your body and mind. So if you know something about your body and mind, how it works, why it works in this way and that way. So if you learn the Buddhist attitude towards your body and mind, so you may have a different viewpoint of seeing things. Because according to Lord Buddha's teachings, actually he says a normal human can't directly understand these things. So if a human can understand these things, he has to develop his mind to a certain level to leave your body and go beyond your body. So then you let the body cease and mind go to a different realm of existence or different level of existence. So then you can clearly understand what is this body and how it come to survive, how it works, and what are the causes and conditions behind that functionality. So that's why the Lord Buddha say you should develop your mind to a certain level. Then you can understand the reality of your body and mind, how mind and body work together. And once the mind separates from your body, then you can understand the difference of what is body and what is mind. So now, as a human, body and mind work together. So you don't see the difference. You when you think you want to move your hand moves. So this kind of things, but these intentions come from different background. This is like a machine. This is like a computer, or the automated machine. If you clearly observe these things, so that's why Lord Buddha say it is good to understand the basics of this system, this body and mind relationship. So how this body works and how this mind works. So for develop this understanding within yourself, because you have to observe and see. But the Lord Buddha give the basic guidelines related to the functionality of your body and mind. So then you can develop that view, how to see your the body and mind functionality. So the basics of these things is the impermanent nature of your experiences. That means the experiences is eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind. They Lord Buddha explain as separate faculties or the separate the things. So eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind have separate consciousnesses. So these consciousnesses have the external objects. So external objects means eye has the forms you see through your eyes. So these and the ear get the sounds come to your ears. The smells come to your nose, you take by your nose the smells, and the tastes come to your tongue, and the touches come to your body, you take in this way. So and the thoughts come to your mind. That is also another source according to Buddhism, because these are the six external objects and six internal faculties and six external faculties. So Lord Buddha say this, not this is the how Lord Buddha taught us. So you can investigate and see whether it is true or false. So external objects also impermanent, change always, all the time. These are not permanent stuff. So the internal faculties also not permanent. The condition of these internal faculties also always changing, depending on causes and conditions. The external objects also change depending on causes and conditions. Internal faculties also change depending on causes and conditions. So therefore, we say consciousness. Conscious means you get a feeling, you get a perception. When these objects come contact to the internal faculties, you get a feeling, you get a perception. You get a volition in your mind. So that's why we say you are conscious about that object. Otherwise, you are not conscious. If any object come to the eye, but if there is no feeling, perception or volition there in your mind related to that object, that means you are not conscious. So then, in the same way, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind also the same. So that's why when we are meditating, when the objects come to your mind, you just let go. Then these objects go to the background and you are not aware of these things. You are not worried about the thoughts come to your mind. Thoughts actually, this thought giving process is going on inside your brain, but you are not aware of these things. You focus your attention to one thing and let go things to the background. So this is the process what we have to understand. So things are coming and going. If you are the consciousness arises, if you are advert your mind on these objects, that means if you want to see things, if you want to contact things, if you don't want, you can let go and free your mind. So then your mind divert attention to something else, or just total cessation is a little bit deep thing. But you can see in your day-to-day life, sometimes when you are paying attention to one thing, you miss a lot come from the this ear, nose, tongue, body, all other things. When you are seeing this, simple example, when you are watching the TV, sometimes you don't hear anything else. You see the TV only. Or when you are driving, sometimes if you are driving very fast, sometimes your attention totally go to your driving, so you don't have the attention to anything else. Like this, many different things you can. The same thing when you are practicing meditation, your attention go to this. So these things give an understanding about how this consciousness works. So it arises depending on external objects and the condition of your internal object, internal faculties, external faculties, internal faculties. So What would they say? These internal faculties actually run based on your past volitions, your previous volitions. So that's why once you listen to this, about meditation, or when you engage in meditation, when you seek for meditation, so your past volitions come, or you once you listen to some advice, so you had a thought, okay, I should try this one. So you had an intention. So then when you sit, these intentions come and start working. So you want to do it. So the mind behaves on this. So but you should have a training, because mind have many different trainings in previously. That means many different volitions before. So these volitions also come. New volition also come. So what will, so Lord Buddha say, for develop whatever thing, so you should have the desire to do it, and you should train to involve in this and practice it. These four iddipada according to the Buddhism, chanda, chitta, viriya, vimansa. You should have the desire to do it, and you put an effort to do it, and you have to train your mind to do it, and then investigate whether it is going in the right way. So you have to be apply it again and again. So so therefore when you are practicing meditation, you can focus your attention to anything, but when mind goes, so when you remind, mind comes back, because your previous intention comes back again. So mind act in that way. In the same way, your eye, ear, nose, tongue, body also act in the same way according to your previous volitions. That's why sometimes these emotions are really powerful. When some objects come to you, you just, your body and mind works, react to these things, because you have trained yourself early, or you had the previous volitions. So that is previous volitions we call karma. So how it works. So but this karma is not a fixed thing. There is no one thing. There are many. So according to the situation, these things jump up and work. So sometimes if you are in a happy mood, some karma comes up. If you are in a bad mood, another set of karma comes up. Because different reactions, different volitions, you have a lot. So that's why when you sit for meditation and you have a nice environment, everyone is prepared to meditate, so your mind just go to the meditation mode. So that is another set of another karma. So how it works? So then you have to understand the important thing is internal faculty conditions are important to understand. So external faculty conditions. So then these things are not permanent. These things are changed. So you have to admit that reality. So these are not under my control. External faculties run according to the causes and conditions related to external faculties. Internal faculties run according to the causes and conditions related to internal faculties. So these things are not under our control. So then you have to understand this body and mind is not under your control. Basically. But you should first understand logically. This is a logic. This is just simple logic. But you have to observe and see. Otherwise you don't believe it. So you have to watch carefully. Because the external also impermanent, internal also impermanent, these are run based on different causes and conditions. So that's why the simple thing, sometimes you don't have a control on your emotions. So if you admit that reality, it is common for all living beings. So why should I worry? If whatever thing comes, be kind, soft and gentle. That is the skillful way of dealing things. Because we don't have control on these things. Because we think we have a control on these things. That's why we put an effort. That's why anger, hatred arise within ourselves. Sometimes we are angry with us. Sometimes we are angry with other people. That's why Lord Buddha say, if you have the right attitude towards your body and mind, you never get angry. You never hate to anyone. Because It is a natural phenomena. No one has control on these things. So depending on many different other conditions, causes and conditions, this mentality arises and these emotions arise. So then you have to kind, soft and gentle to these things. Then that is the skillful means to calm down things and let go things. So you have to keep in mind this is a natural phenomena. Basically, this is a natural phenomena. So this impermanent nature and non-self nature, you have to understand. Then suffering nature is related to all these things. Why? This mind always had that idea that it is under my control. I can control. This is my hand. I can move according to my wish. This kind of understanding we have. But it is not the thing behind that one. So these things have a way of developing things within ourselves. These thoughts, how these thoughts come to us. There are many steps behind these things. So anyway, we have to keep in mind and watch within ourselves. Then you can see. And this attitude is really helpful to calm down your mind and let go of things and be happy with whatever thing come to you. Not much worry about things, because worrying creates more problems. So one of the important things, anxiety sometimes comes because we are expecting things. We are not watching things, but we have a lot of expectations, or we expect these things should be like this and that. So sometimes the body should be like this, like that, if anything come to your body. So if you watch even whatever thing comes in your body, or pain or happiness or in mind, you have to watch and see what are the causes and conditions behind these things. Then you can understand the reality related to body and mind. If you think, oh, this that is my happiness, oh, I am like this, I am like that, then we fall into the delusion, because then you don't see the causes and conditions. Even the external, the other people, when they are behaving in different ways, so we think, oh, he is a foolish guy, he is an angry guy, he is a good guy. But if we see the causes and conditions, when we see all the time, there is no fixed personality. Everyone has each and every action have causes and conditions behind these things. Even mental action, verbal action, bodily action, everything has causes and conditions behind it. So if you watch carefully, you can see, you can understand. So the meditation gives you a good opening for us to see how our mind works and what are the causes and conditions behind all the our mental states or our perceptions, volitions, and feelings. What are the causes and conditions behind these? Just for example, I will tell you. So now, most of you, I think, born in this country, you know. So you taste the according to your family background. You choose food according to what you were given by your mother or the parents who look after you. If someone is give this totally different kind of food, sometimes you may just taste it. But if someone is going to give every day that kind of food. You are not prefer, or it is something alien to you, or this something you were given in from your small age up to certain level. So sometimes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Your stomach, sometimes you are willing to accept that food, but your stomach or your body may not accept it. That is the reality. So because these causes and conditions run the whole scenario. So that's why we, when you are a small child, so if you born to an English family, but a Chinese mother takes to their home and brought up there, so you used to eat the Chinese food. After some time, you prefer Chinese food, but not the English food. But if you grow up to a certain level of age, that means about 25, 30, 40, so after that, if you bring to a Chinese home and give the Chinese food, you can't eat for a long time, or Sri Lanka. So a lot of chili and and these kind of things, sometimes most people can't eat chili and condiments and all this hot food. So these are conditioning. But the people who are living in those countries, they can't eat other country food. So that's why this, you have to understand, this is always run by causes and conditions, not because I, me, myself. So if you have any other questions, okay.
Thank you very much, Ajahn. And see, we have some announcements here. VSWR.org and podcast VSWA is our website to have a more in-depth look. And Ajahn Santuti is doing a half-day retreat on Saturday 23rd, 11, 2 to 6. And the address is written there. To book, no? You can book under the mounts611@gmail.com. And yes, there is a $20 voucher, a gift voucher we are collecting for the Women's Refuge for the Christmas time. So if anybody is willing, please see Mona.
Goldsmeyer
gift card only, yeah. Goldsmeyer gift card only. And if you can buy and give it to Marlene, she will take care. To give it to the Women's Refuge. She's looking at me very cheekily. there is a table in the back which has free literature to take home to browse through. And there are some library books as well, and books for sale. And if you want to take any library books, please bring it back. That's it from me. Addresses are there and the events are there. Yeah, please visit bswa.org. It's very helpful and informative. Thank you all. See you next week.
Will you pass on our regards to Ajahn Sarano for us?
Yeah. 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 Now, I think he may come.